All right, what is going on, Based Americans? Welcome to Based America. I am your host, Drew Hernandez. Make sure to subscribe to that channel, smash that like button, hit the bell notification. Please copy the link, share it absolutely everywhere. I have not seen this interview. I have been wanting to watch this interview. So we are going to take a look at the Donald J. Trump and Logan Paul interview. And by the way, this is going to really, really reach Gen Z and the next generation. So let's take a look at this interview together.
President in the history of our country.
You should make a diss track on him.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Do you think that you're starting to soften your views on some of the networks that you may have not gotten along with in the past?
No, they're fake news.
He had a street fight this past week.
And how did it work out?
How you think, Mr. President?
I think he probably did pretty good. I've watched enough of you fighting.
Unidentified aerial phenomena in the sky. We don't know what they are. Do you?
It's very possible. Really powerful stuff. AI. They made a commercial, me promoting a product, and it wasn't me. And I said, did I make that commercial?
Rap beefs. Big rap beef just happened. Drake or Kendrick?
This is going to be great.
I think so too.
I've been looking forward to this all my life. My whole life. Anyway, hi, fellas. How you doing?
How are you, boss?
How's your brother? Good?
Yeah, he's excellent.
You have a good relationship with him, right?
With Jake?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do now. But it's not always been like that.
It's always been, yeah, I can imagine.
Right, it's my brother. It's
good. Yeah,
it's good. It's good.
Henry Tyson, we got it.
Yeah, right? Who you got? When is that going to be?
November. It got rescheduled.
Well, look, Mike was fantastic, but, you know, Mike's a little older now.
Yeah.
And you guys can fight.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, but you guys can really fight, legitimately fight.
Thank you, sir.
At first I said, it's so amazing, because I always thought like a UFC guy or a top, you know, even contender would be able to win at 75 years old.
You think?
But it doesn't work that way.
Right? Yeah.
The clock is still the clock.
Yeah. I figured that out with Floyd as well.
Yeah, how about that, right?
I don't know.
I mean, it was even.
Yeah, which shouldn't
you
make...
You would have thought he would have won that fight.
That's what I thought.
That was your baby. Yeah.
Some people still think he did win that
fight. You guys.
Oh, no way. Yeah. We got gifts.
Oh, nice. Sell for a lot of money this thing.
Oh, no way. thank you, President.
Let's just split it up. Here's
amazing.
For you. Is
this your mugshot?
Can you believe
it? No way, you're a gangster.
This is what we're reduced to.
Should we put them on now?
Is it crazy?
That's amazing.
And it sells. Well, Elvis had one. Frank Sinatra had one.
This shirt,
but we've eclipsed him. Yeah. A long time ago, we've eclipsed him.
This is crazy.
It's pretty cool. Isn't it cool?
I have to be honest, I'm jealous.
It's actually, I'm not sure if I love it or not, but
no,
it
good.
Is what it is.
It happened, and might as well monetize it.
Well, Mr. President, people surely love it. They love the picture. They rallied behind it. They're rallying behind you now.
Well, they
more
are.
Than ever.
And we had the biggest fundraising, I think, ever for any candidate, ever anywhere in the world in the last 8 or 9 days. Hundreds of millions of dollars. And too bad it couldn't have been done for other reasons. But they viewed the case as being so corrupt and so ridiculous. You know, every one of the legal pundits, and, they're great guys. When you look at Dershowitz, the whole group, that whole group of people, Andy McCarthy, Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, every one of them, they came out and they said, there's not even a case here. There's no case. And when they saw the jury instructions, when they saw all the things that happened, and it's not like anybody's a friend of mine. Mark Levin is an example. They couldn't believe it. So unfair. It's a very unfair thing. And because of that, the fundraising numbers and the polls... But the fundraising, that's sort of like a poll anyway, right? When you get right down to it. But the fundraising numbers went, I don't think there's ever been that much money raised that quickly.
You've become a martyr of sorts.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's insane. $140 million in May that you raised.
$35 million in just hours after the verdict.
Yeah, $58 million within a few hours. And that was in small donations, like $71, something average. And over a period of a week, we even went to San Francisco. Now, not supposed to be. That's the belly of the beast, right?
Rare visit.
But they had thousands of people on the street. It was so positive. And they raised $12 million, the tech guys, at one of the houses, David. Fantastic people. And they were like, they gave me a lot of money. They've never been into doing that. And I think it helps that Biden is just so bad. He is so bad. He is the worst president in the history of our country. So that helps, too.
You should make a diss track on him.
Yeah, we'll do something. Yeah. We'll do something.
I actually wanted to start there.
Go ahead.
Because one thing that I just can't seem to wrap my head around it is, you know, you got these felony convictions and a lot of them, like more than Al Capone, right? And there was an uprising and people showed you their support with their donations. And a lot of people are saying it points out that actually the unjust nature of America's justice system. So my question is, like, if that is your belief, if that is their belief, why do you have the desire to give your time and energy to a country or a system that's trying to take you down?
So I ran twice. I did much better the second time than the first time. And if I didn't, I wouldn't have done this. But we had it going like this country has never been going before. It was really good. Now it's really bad. The worst border in history, the worst inflation, I think, in history. I think the history of the country, the people are getting decimated by it. All very flex, you know, all something you can fix. You can fix it fast. We were energy independent. We're going to be energy dominant very soon. All these things were happening. And then we had a terrible result in an election. And what happened was disgraceful, and we can't ever let it happen again. But, we have a little expression. It's right on that hat. Make America great again. And we can do that. Make America great again. And this guy is not going to do it. This guy has destroyed our country. When you allow 15, 16, 17, they have no idea with the gotaways. Million people in coming out of jails, coming out of mental institutions, insane asylum. The insane asylums all over the world, the mental institutions, they're at the lowest levels. They've been at it for years. They're going to be totally empty. And you have terrorists coming into our country. We're going to be paying a big price, and we're going to solve the problem, and we're going to solve it relatively quickly. But we have other problems, too, with energy, with inflation. He's been a disaster as a president. He's the worst president we've ever had. The good news is he makes Jimmy Carter look brilliant by comparison. So Jimmy Carter is the only one that's happy with this.
Well, look, I think that's why a lot of people are so obsessed with you, Mr. Trump, Mr. President Trump. Well, because you're already a billionaire, right? You are essentially serving these people and you don't have to be doing it. The president,
no.
Being the president seems like a very hard job. You were at three meetings just before this.
Sure.
But I guess I'm asking, like, the desire to run and attempt to improve your country for these things you're saying.
Yeah.
It comes from what? Just the love of the country?
Well, the people, I'll tell you, when you look at the people, when you look at the crowds, I did a rally in New Jersey. We had 107,000 people there. You saw that last week. We did one in the Bronx. We had 25,000 people. And this was in the South Bronx, which is known as a rough area. And it was like a love fest. Mm. There was not even, like, nobody even raised a voice of dissent. Mm. The whole place, it was like a big love fest. Nobody could believe it. You saw that 3-4 weeks ago. Mm. There's tremendous, our country has tremendous potential, but it's going down the tubes very, very rapidly. Nobody has ever seen anything like it, the way it's being run. So bad. And we can change it. We can change it quickly. We have a debate coming up. That'll be interesting.
June 27th, hosted by one of your favorite television networks, CNN.
Well, they gave me the option. They said, would you do it? And they didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. So they gave me everything. Fake Tapper and lots of other people that were going to, you know, were involved on CNN. They wanted it to be seated, which I didn't like. I said we should stand, and I think we won that point. But I would have agreed to whatever I had to agree to because they didn't want to do it. They thought that I wouldn't do it because it's CNN, but I've done plenty of CNN. I did a town hall not so long ago with CNN that worked out well. But I think they'll be fair. I think they're going to try and be fair. I mean, as fair as they can be. But I think it's important for there to be a debate. So they said, you want a debate? Yep, I'll accept. You don't even have to tell me. Then they said CNN. They said the different people that are involved. But let's see what happens. I used to get along with Jake Tapper. Mm. We'll see what happens. But it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it is.
That sentiment that CNN might be fair to you.
They might be.
Is a bit of a departure.
I'd say a good 10% chance.
From your normal hardline stance. Do you think that you're starting to come around or soften your views on some of the networks that you may have not gotten along with in the past?
No, they're fake news.
Yeah, fake news.
No, they're so bad. One of the good terms, right? Fake news. But no, I don't think so. I thought maybe, you know, I had one with Caitlin Collins about 4 or 5 months ago. It was one of the highest rated shows they've ever had. And I really thought they were going to go maybe sort of in the middle. But I was wrong about, as I'm getting on and I'm hearing the way I'm being announced, they said, hey, these people are playing hardball. They're making a big mistake. But the ratings for this debate, I guess, will be quite good.
Massive. Are you surprised by his decision to face-to-face with you?
You mean the fact that they're willing to do it?
That Biden's willing to
do it? A little
bit.
They didn't want to do it. They thought I turned CNN down. Look, CNN is the enemy. And they thought I was going to turn CNN. And Tapper is, one of the guys that... when I'm making a speech, so they're waiting for the nomination for months and months. I got it in the quickest fashion. Nobody's ever gotten a nomination so quickly. And I'm making my nomination speech, and they refuse to put it. They're covering it for months and months. Now I'm actually making my speech. I mean, this is the big night. I won the nomination, and they refuse to put it on. These are people that don't like Trump. But it's okay, because I think it's important to have a debate, or a number of debates, actually.
The fact that you are so vocal as well, especially on social media, I think works in your favor. And personally, I like that you come with receipts. Sometimes,
yeah,
I've seen you pull them out of your jacket. Will you have receipts?
I like to do it.
Well, fact checking's fun.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna check a lot of things. It's gonna be an interesting. You will be watching, right?
I'll be watching.
Oh, yeah. We just don't want to schedule it around one of your fights.
Please don't. Please don't.
You do pretty well.
Thanks. I'll be watching. Yeah, I always see you at UFC.
Do you have? By the way, do you ever fight your brother?
That's the question. Guy.
You want to know something?
So, I want to know. Okay. Yeah, because right. you are both good. Do you ever fight him?
Thank you. Not in real life.
You
no.
practiced a little bit.
Never.
With him, right?
We've never even sparred.
Really?
We don't know. We don't. I think.
Well, did you beat him up your whole life?
I didn't. I punched him in the face once because he took my glasses. But I was willing to step in for Mike Tyson when Tyson got sick and had to postpone his fight. And we actually like ran it up the chain at Netflix.
It's hard for brothers to fight, though. I think it's hard.
Not on Netflix.
I've seen it over
for
the years,
a big old
know?
Bag, like. Yeah, figure it out once some, and for all.
You don't think so? You love your brother?
Well, me and Jake decided that obviously, like, we both come from a place of love, and right. whatever the outcome would be, we'd have to be okay with it. But obviously, I love
no,
my brother.
No, but the shots to the face and, you know.
Just one time, though, for the rest of history, you know? Yeah. That night goes down forever. The Klitschko brothers never did it.
No, they never did it. And they were both good, and they never did it. They were very good. But, in fact, nobody really figured out maybe who was better. They had some good fights. They were tough, right?
Yeah.
They
well, Jake's tough, and he's good. But I'm one of
those. He's very good, and you're very good.
Thanks. He had a street fight this past week against somebody from a squad you may know as from the Nelk Boys.
Oh, right. You said you had it out with them?
An actual street fight.
No, but a friendly one or an unfriendly one?
Oh, it was pretty unfriendly.
Yeah,
I was there.
I would call it a waiver fight.
They have a great following, though. They're nice guys.
We love them.
They have such a... You do? Good, oh, yeah. I'm glad, because you know, I'm getting myself into a position. They really are. They did... Dana White, who's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
He said, would you do the Nelk Boys? I didn't know who they were. I did it, and they have a tremendous audience, which you can
ferocious.
Tell.
Ferocious.
Yeah.
Right away. I did Dr. Phil the other day.
I saw it.
Yeah, he amazing. Was great.
We love the Nelk Boys, by the way. The Nelk Boy we're talking about is like a... It's kind of like
his name's Bradley Martin. He's a big fitness guy. Because we know Kyle Forgard, and John Shahidi for years now.
They're great.
Bradley's this big 260-pound, you know, bodybuilder. And for years, he's called people out. I'm 260. I'll fight you. And got into it with Logan.
And how did it work out?
How you think, Mr. President?
I think he probably did pretty good. I've watched enough of you fighting.
It was off camera. You know, it was cool. It was like a duel. A good old-fashioned, just boys being boys. No cameras.
It was a real deal.
The real deal.
And
no rules.
Was he finished?
He quit.
He did.
He quit, yeah.
But we were very impressed with him, actually.
He showed up.
He has no combat sports experience.
Yep.
Stepped up
to
somebody.
He had muscle, but not the
just no training. Yeah. Just no training.
You ever been in a fist fight, Mr. President?
Probably not. I've been like little duels, nothing like that. I mean, I'd like to say, I fought my way through school.
Right.
You know, I fought my way out of the Wharton School of Finance. We didn't have a lot of fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
We have fighters, but not that kind of fighters. But I've had a lot of fun. I'll tell you, we had a great time. Over the years, I've been very much involved with Mike Tyson. Mike is a great guy. My son, I have a beautiful boy, Baron, and he loves Mike Tyson.
He's a big boy. Big boy.
He's huge.
He's a big boy. Six foot nine.
Six foot nine. Oh, my PDF's at 6'7".
And I couldn't get him to play basketball, play soccer. He's a good athlete, too. Good student,
good
athlete.
Big boy for soccer.
But he's 6'9".
It's insane.
Good looking guy, but he is a tall one. There's no question. I say, Baron, I don't want to take a picture next to you. It's
neither do we.
Crazy. We ought to make him a fighter, maybe.
No, I don't want. Guys, it's 2024. We want to spend less and save more. That's just a fact. But how? How are we supposed to save when we're paying inflated prices for everyday essentials like gas and groceries? Look, you can't just cut those purchases out of your budget. But now, thanks to my 2024 money back hack, you can get cash back from them with Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, you get cash back on every single purchase. Upside is my secret weapon for staying on track with my savings goals. To get started, download the Upside app. It's free. Also, use my promo code Impulsive for 25 cents back on every single gallon on your first tank of gas. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Pay as usual, however you would, with a credit or debit card. Follow the steps in the app and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can get 3 times more cash back with Upside. Hey, plus, Upside doesn't sell your personal information to third parties. Woo! They know that your information is a vital part of their trusted relationship with you. Upside users are earning hundreds of dollars a year. That's probably why they have a 4.8 rating on the App Store. So look, download the free Upside app. Use the code Impulsive. Don't forget the A in Impulsive to get 25 cents back on every single gallon in your first tank of gas. Thank you, Upside. Back to the show.
We always see you at the UFC fights.
Yeah.
So you're obviously a fight fan.
I like it. I really enjoy it. I think Dana White is one of a kind.
For sure.
And he's been generous to me. He's made a great statement about me the other day.
I saw that.
That was a nice statement.
Well, because you've had his back for...
Well, I did, yeah. and rightfully. I think, you know, the expression, everybody's replaceable. I'm not sure anybody could do. The job he does is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets... I met Khabib, who's 29-0, and his father died. And he just said, that's it for me. And, you know, his father was great at what he did. And probably he never lost even a round. I think he, 29-0, they say he never lost a round. And I thought he was great. And we got to speak. He was just about my favorite guy and really talented. The Strickland was fantastic the other night. I thought he was a great striker. He was.
Everyone wants to come out of the cage and meet you after they win.
They do. I'm very honored by it. Every time they win, they jump out.
Yeah.
They jump out of that cage like it's nothing. I don't know. It's pretty high, but they have no problem.
And when you enter the arena, there's an eruption of cheers.
Yeah.
But I remember, because I've been going to UFC for a while, like it wasn't always like that. There was a very clear like shift in the perception of you. Do you feel like you feel that now more than ever?
I don't know. You know, I've done it in Vegas, Miami. I do it with them, with Dana. Dana wants me to do that. And I do it. And it is an eruption. Mm. He said like he's never heard before. Mm. They actually stopped a fight. One of the fighters were walking out and there's a fight going on. And these guys are really going at it. And they heard this crazy sound. And they stopped the fight. They both stopped fighting. They're looking over what happened. Mm. They probably thought bad things were happening to the arena. Mm. But no, it's been great, and he is just somebody you have to really respect. I imagine you guys do, but he gets these fighters from all over the world, and they are some really talented people, and I have respect for fighters. You know, when you can take 200 shots to the face and then look forward to the second round.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of wrestlers want to do the UFC thing, but they can't take the shots because they're wrestlers. I've been with a lot of them, and because at the White House we honor the national champion wrestlers and tennis players and sort of everything. We have these, but speaking to the wrestlers, some of them, there's somebody named Bo Nickel who I think is going to be great. He's a fighter,
fantastic.
He
sure.
was a All-American, I think, probably 4 years. I'm not even sure. Really, he went to Penn State, and he's phenomenal as a fighter, and you'll be watching him. Mm. But he doesn't mind if he gets hit. He doesn't mind. Some people don't want that.
Speaking of conflict and fighting, since you left office, the number of global conflicts has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I know Khabib talked to you about it quickly when you spoke with him. I think 2 weeks ago about President Biden authorized the use of American weapons in Russia, which has now led to a fleet of Russian warships coming towards Cuba this week. What are your thoughts and concerns of, around our current handling of our relationship with Russia?
Well, the Russian attack on Ukraine would have never happened if I were president. Would have never happened. It's just a shame. So many dead people. You look at just the soldiers, it's 500,000 soldiers between the both countries. But so many dead people, so many towns and villages and buildings and all, I mean, magnificent culture just being wiped out. You okay over there?
Stuff's falling over.
Sounds good. Nice book, by the way. Nice book.
That's his book about overcoming drug addiction. It's a bestseller about the opiate epidemic, which we'll talk about.
That's a great topic because it's so sad to see what's happening. So bad. But it's a shame because it never would have happened. It didn't happen during my 4 years. It didn't happen. It wouldn't have happened. I got along very well with Putin. I got along with Zelensky. But it wouldn't have happened. And October 7th would have never happened. And inflation would have never happened, and the withdrawal, the kind of withdrawal, we were getting out of Afghanistan with dignity and strength, but to get out the way, I think it was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country. And I actually think that the way Afghanistan worked, I think that when Putin looked at that, he said, wow, let's go in. And you know who else looked at it? President Xi of China. And he is looking at Taiwan, and he's drooling. He's drooling over Taiwan. And so something could happen there. We've lost a lot of respect. They're laughing at us all over the world. And that wasn't happening 4 years ago.
And with you back in office, you think we'll get that respect back?
Yeah, we'll get it back. We'll get it back.
What's your relationship like with Vladimir Putin?
I think very good, but I was tough with him. You know, I ended the pipeline. He built, it's called Nord Stream 2. Nobody ever heard of Nord Stream 2 until I got involved. And it was the biggest project ever done in Russia. I mean, you know, this was a pipeline that was going to supply oil and gas to all over Europe, Germany in particular. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to Germany? I said, we're defending you under NATO, and you're paying billions of dollars a month to Russia. You mean we're defending you, and you're giving the people we're defending you from, we're giving you the defense, but you're giving them money at massive amounts. Probably the biggest project, you know, most important, one of the most important projects they've ever done. I ended it. It was dead. It was gone. And then this guy comes in and he approves it, but he kills Keystone, you know, the Keystone XL.
Yep.
So it's sad. But Putin said to me, it's the biggest thing. You ended it. You ended the pipeline. He said, they all say you and I are friendly, but I'd hate to see you as an enemy. But this was the biggest, you know, this was massive amounts of money. And
but that's
else.
How that, you talked to him like that?
But Biden came in. Huh?
You talked to him like that?
Oh, no, I had a very good relationship. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. And I'm trying to tell people, no, it's a good thing. They've got, I would give you the exact number, but they gave a lot, just under 2,000 nuclear weapons. And we do also. And when you have nuclear weapons, and even if you don't have nuclear weapons, getting along is good, but be the tough one, be the smart one, get along is good. I tell the press all the time, no, the fact that I get along with Kim Jong-un, North Korea.
That's crazy.
President Xi.
That's crazy.
It's all good stuff getting along, but nobody ever took money out of China like me. I took hundreds of billions of dollars out in the form of tariffs and taxes. Mm. No other president took not 10 cents. And, you know, China built their military because of the United States. The United States was giving them hundreds of billions of dollars a year in excess flow. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. But we took out hundreds of billions of dollars from China, and I still got along with President Xi until COVID. That was a breaking point. But no, but he was a guy that I respected. He liked me, and I liked him. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. You know, the press says, oh, isn't it? You say, yeah, he's a leader. He's a smart guy. They say, smart man. They say, oh, Trump said he was smart. He leads 1.4 billion people. it's a little bit on the smart side. But I got along with him. I got along with Kim Jong-un. That would have been a nuclear war. If Hillary Clinton had gotten in office, we would have been in a nuclear war with North Korea. He was ready for it. When I was with him, nobody else could meet him. All of a sudden, the dam broke, and we started talking a little bit. We got together, as you know, twice. get along very well, but we were in no danger from them, and we were in serious danger before I got there. I'm telling you, you would have had a nuclear war if Hillary Clinton got in.
I'm so curious, like, what this conversation with really powerful world leaders looks like behind closed doors. Like, is it candid, or do you exercise grace, or you talk like boys?
Everyone's different. No, but everyone's different. It's like when you're talking to people, when you're doing interviews with people, when you're fighting people, they're all different. You know, you fight them a different way, you talk to them a different way, but everyone's different. But I had very good relationships with everyone. The funny thing is, I got along with the tough ones much better than I got along with the weak ones. You had some real weak ones too. I didn't get along with them as well. It's strange. Must be a personality defect.
It's probably a good thing.
Huh?
It's probably a good thing that you get along with the,
I get along with the
leaders
tough ones,
of the largest countries.
You know, there's a very tough one, Viktor Orban, and he's the prime minister of Hungary. And he said that the reason the world is blowing up because Trump isn't president. When Trump was there, everybody respected Trump. He said was afraid of Trump. I don't want to use that term because that's, you know, I don't want to say, oh, they were afraid, like a child would say. But they respected me. But he said everyone listened to Trump. They were afraid of Trump. They couldn't figure Trump out, and they all listened. And they did listen, and we had no wars. We had no nothing. I defeated ISIS, got rid of the biggest terrorist ever, maybe, just about ever. But we defeated, think of that, we knocked out ISIS, 100% of the ISIS caliphate, and started no wars. I wasn't in any wars. Now, that I don't know how you may feel about that, because you know, you're a warrior, right? Because all fighters, and you're a real fighter, by the way.
It's not good. It's not good. I don't shy away from conflict. My fiance has a problem with it.
Yeah.
It's not good. You're much more diplomatic than I probably would be.
You know, it's very interesting, though. So Khabib came up to me after the fight the other night. And, you know, you guys would probably say he's the best ever, maybe. And, you know,
probably
certainly he probably is, and or very close, right? John Jones, a lot of people
right
say.
I'd say one and two.
And, you know, and he said to me, oh, I hope you can get in because we have to stop the wars. We have to stop the killing. He was so smart. He understood it. And I think he's friends or was friends, but I think he is friends with Putin very much.
Yeah.
But he said, we have to stop the killing. And it's true. And I think I'd have that war stopped if I was president-elect. Right after the election, if I win, I will get that war stopped. I'll get it stopped fast before I get to office. If it's not stopped before then.
Talking about Russia-Ukraine.
I'm talking about Russia-Ukraine. We'll get it stopped. So many people are being killed. Far more people are being killed. And I thought it was great when Khabib came up to me and he says, we've got to stop all of the killing in the war. He's a very smart guy, very interesting guy. We talked for a while.
On the flip side, or on the other side of the continent, the Gaza situation has been
horrible.
Big news over the past year or so. You've always, the United States has always been, and you were always a staunch ally of Israel. Has your sentiment on Netanyahu or on his regime changed at all in light of any of the events of the past 6 months?
No, look, it was a shame that it should have never happened. It would have never happened. Iran was broke when I was president. Nobody was allowed to buy oil. Nobody was allowed to buy anything. They were broke. A Democrat congressman on Deface the Nation, the show Deface the Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Deface the Nation. Yes, commonly known as Face the Nation, but I don't call it that.
You have a name for
I think
everything.
I have a name for everything. I'll end up with a name for you two guys by the time.
Yeah.
But it'll be.
I can't wait to hear
No,
mine.
No, they'll be good names. They'll be good names. But so he was on the show and he said, whether you like Trump or not, Iran was broke during Trump's. They would have made a deal within 1 week. And now they have $250 billion. We would have had a deal done in one week after the election. And it was ready. They were absolutely, and they had no money for Hamas. They had no money for Hezbollah. They were broke, stone cold broke. Now they have $250 billion. Biden took off all of the sanctions. He let them go. China went to town. I told China, if you buy one barrel of oil from these people, you're not doing any business with the United States. They took a pass, no oil, and other countries likewise. And we would have had a deal. It would have been a great deal for everybody. We would have had a deal. Now they have $250 billion. They made it all in 3 years, 3.5 years. They made it all during this Biden term. I mean, he gave him $6 billion for five hostages, right? You saw that recently, mm-hmm. a couple of months ago. $6 billion for five hostages. He made the swap. The Prince of Terror, they call him. He's the best arms dealer ever, they say. Who knows what that means, but he was a great arms dealer. For the basketball player that wouldn't stand up during the national anthem, she thought that was a good time to tie her sneakers. And that was not exactly the greatest trade, but he gave $6 billion on top of everything. $6 billion with a B. And they don't know what they're doing. And when you do that, you know, when you start paying that kind of money, a lot of other people are going to be missing all of a sudden. They're going to be missing and, hey, let's make a trade. And that's already happening. You just can't do that. I got 58 people out. We never paid any money. 58 people, 58 hostages. We never paid money. Because once you pay money, you're going to be doing a lot. In other words, you're going to keep doing it. So you can't do that.
This episode is sponsored by myself. I sponsored it myself. Primex, guys. We just dropped Primex. This is our biggest launch ever. It is a $1 million treasure hunt. So after you buy your bottle and you open it, there's a code under the cap. You scan the QR code on the side. You enter the code on the cap on the website. We made a custom app, a custom portal that has access to a treasure map that leads to $1 million cash prize. It's a global treasure hunt. It's huge. It's a big deal. There's 12 map pieces. Excuse me. You collect all of them, and you could get access to win $1 million. Also, if you don't collect all 12 map pieces, you can start collecting points. Each bottle gives you points. The points are redeemable for free merch, Prime AirPods, special Prime bottles, and other cool stuff. So check it out. Primex now hitting your favorite retailers. Back to the show.
I want to ask about money. Money in this country.
Go ahead.
I've had a very fortunate career.
Yeah.
I've made some money. And
more money than you ever thought possible?
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
I know the kind of money you make, because I know when you have a top event or and your shows, but these events are doing fantastically.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
you've done is incredible.
Yeah, I'm very blessed. And part of the reason that I believe I'm blessed is because of this country. And I think in a way, I'm kind of living like the modern day American dream. You know, I had access to a phone and could start my business and reach the entire world on this device. So,
Excuse me, did you guys start like separately?
Me and Jake?
Yes.
Nah, together.
Oh, you started together?
Together on YouTube.
And did you branch out? Each have your own thing?
Yeah, well, eventually, because I went to college. Jake was still in high school. He ended up dropping out. I finished my first year.
It's an amazing two stories, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Who makes more money?
It depends on the year. It depends if Jake has fights.
and it depends on when this sells right here.
I think.
Is that your new drink? Oh, that's good. Oh,
Yeah.
If you make it, I like it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President.
No, it's got to be good. It's got to be, look, something's propelling him to fight world champions to a draw, right?
Yeah. We actually made this American Prime special for this episode. It's a hydration beverage.
It's doing fine, doing well.
We did $1.2 billion last year.
That's great.
Year two.
That's fantastic.
But again, I'm blessed to have even just be able to say that is insane. But my question is, for other young people in this country who are looking to get ahead, because for a lot of them, times are tough right now.
It's very tough.
What would you say to them, kids who want to pursue their own version of the American dream and try to achieve their wildest dreams and make it all come true?
I would say very simply, honestly, vote for Trump. Because with Biden, you're never going to do it. This country's going to hell. Vote for Trump. You know, we're doing great with youth. We're doing great with African Americans, with Hispanic Americans, through the roof, both of those groups, with women, with men, and with young people, we're doing very well. But I say vote for Trump. If you don't have the right guy in the lead, the country's not going to, you know, if the country doesn't do well, it's much harder to do even what you do, okay? Even what you do. So that would be a simple message. I really mean it, actually.
The same opportunities he's had in America, I've had as well. My road has been a little bit rockier, as we were talking about with my book, The Fifth Vital. I spent 8 years addicted to heroin, living on the East Coast.
Wow.
In what I considered, you know, I think a lot of people considered.
So you were addicted?
Correct.
Wow.
I think a lot of people consider it to be the great opiate
epidemic.
Let me see
the book. Can I see the book?
Absolutely.
We're going to make this sucker a best-selling book.
There's a message for
it. No, it's such an important
It's actually
where's
already
my camera?
It's already a best-selling
book. Buy this book. It's great.
It's that one's for you, I believe.
I wrote a message to you. Good. In there. Yeah.
Well, I'm going
to
keep it.
Thank you so much.
But it's such an important topic. Yeah, seriously, that's so important.
There's a lot of people that are still kind of wrapped up in that world, and I just want to ask you some questions. In 2023, the DEA sees more than 80 million fentanyl laced fake pills, 12,000 pounds of fentanyl powder. There's so many people out there on the streets right now without access to resources with mental health for mental health care, rehabilitation centers.
Yeah.
What's your plan to continue to stem the flow of fentanyl into the country, as well as help the people who have already fallen victim to the opiate epidemic?
So when I took over, you know, it was drug infested. When I ran in 2016, I ran on the border and I fixed the border, and I couldn't even use it in 2020 in the campaign, even though I got millions of more votes than I got the first time. I couldn't talk about the border because I fixed it. And I'd say to my people, I want to talk about the border. I was proud of the job we did. We had it fixed. It was really in good shape. And drugs were at the lowest point in years. And, you know, not only people, drugs, human trafficking, which is such a horrible thing. It's, you think of it as like an ancient kind of a crime. And it's bigger now than ever before because of the internet. You know, the internet has made a lot of these things much bigger than they have ever been. When you think of human trafficking, mostly in women, by the way, people don't know that, mostly in women, where they put them in trunks of cars, they have compartments. It's so horrible. And I had it down to a real, to the lowest level, just about, I guess, in recorded times. So what you have to do is you have to be very tough on that. We had a deal on the fentanyl is pouring through. I bought millions of dollars worth of equipment. Believe it or not, they call it sniffing equipment, but believe it or not, the best thing to find it, you can spend millions of dollars on equipment and machinery to find drugs coming through, like, you know, sort of finds it. The best thing is a German Shepherd born in a certain
dog.
Do you know that?
Sure. No way.
Oh, they're unbelievable. Yeah, they can, they go right to it. It's not even, there is no machine. You know, you spend $2.5 million for machinery, and the dog is much better.
More dogs.
And we literally bred those dogs. It's a very specific type of German Shepherd from a certain part of the world. It's the most incredible thing. We worked very, very hard on that. I was with President Xi. It comes from China and it comes in through the southern. So Mexico's about, it comes through the southern border. And I was with President Xi, and I told you, we got along great. You know, the COVID was a step too far as I was concerned, but we got along great. And I said, do you have a drug problem? He said, no, they give the death penalty in China. If you sell drugs, I said, I'd like you to give the death penalty to people that are making fentanyl and sending it over to our country. And he was going to do that. And then we had the election result. And of course, Biden never picked up that conversation. I told them about it. But he was going to give the death penalty. If he did that, you would have had this literally stopped, almost stopped. But we have to be very, very strong at the border. This is really, this is a plague like, and you know, the numbers, they'd say 70,000, 80,000. I think it's probably 250 or 300,000. This is like a war. There's rarely a war. I mean, how many wars are we losing? 300,000 people a year. And everybody knows a family. I know many families where their children die and they're not even addicted. They take a pill that's unrelated, and it's got a little bit of fentanyl. They say you can take the head of a needle, and you just put a piece on it, and that's enough to kill like 10 people. It is a really horrible thing, and I would have had China giving their maximum penalty. They would not have been sending it, and I had a deal worked out with President Xi, but of course, Biden didn't follow up, just like he didn't follow up on the Abraham Accords, which would have been a great thing to do. So we have to be very tough on the border. And that includes drugs as well as people, as well as people not coming in from jails and prisons and, you know, mental institutions, which is happening now at levels that nobody's ever seen before. It's crazy. How can it be good? It's so bad. And I guess they're either stupid, which they're not. They hate our country, or they want to get these people for votes. A lot of people think that's the thing. It's they want to get them for votes. But the destruction, the damage that Biden's done to our country by having 16, 17 million people already in, you know, it's much more than they say. It's probably 17. It could be even higher than that. In our country, and these are not people that are going to make America great again. These are people that have a lot of issues, and we're going to have a lot of issues as long as they're here, and we're going to get them out. We have to get them out.
Mr. President, I got the 10-minute warning from the team, which is now 8-minute.
Let's let him go a little longer. It's fine. Yes. I like it. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let him go a little bit longer, okay? Look at these two guys.
Just
and then
don't.
It'll turn out to be a lousy show, and I'll say, you were right, Jason.
Ah!
It'll be good. So go for another 20 minutes. Is that all right?
Go.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Jason.
It seems to be a nice flow.
Yeah, let's go. Well, you did reality TV.
I'll be in trouble with my people. Like Biden says, I don't have that problem. But, well, first of all, he couldn't do this interview. You asked him questions like this?
No, we were talking about that. We were like,
we'd like to extend the invite to Joe Biden if he'd like to come on this podcast.
Yeah, I think eventually. He should. You know what chance you have of getting him on? I'd say less than 1%. Okay? If you did that, it'd be interesting. I'd actually watch that one. Okay. See how long it lasted.
So there are two questions I have to ask.
Go ahead.
The first one's kind of fun. Aliens. I want to talk to you about aliens, UFOs, UAPs,
I know.
The disclosure we've seen in Congress recently. It's confusing and upsetting a lot of Americans because there's something happening. There are unidentified aerial phenomena in the sky. We don't know what they are. Do you?
So it's such a question I do get a lot, and it's such an interesting question. I've met with pilots that look just like you, actually. Okay. They have more of a crew cut. Okay. They look like him and they look like you. Some of them look like you.
A little fatter.
But these are perfect people.
Okay.
And they're not conspiratorial. Yeah. They're not crazy.
Yeah.
And they tell me stories that they've seen things that you wouldn't believe. These are not people that you would say,
There's no way. President of the United States. But I said, was
who is it?
Silent?
That's Joe Biden wanting to do an interview. So I met with pilots, like beautiful Tom Cruise, but taller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Handsome, perfect people. Sir, there was something there that was round in form and going like four times faster than my super jet fighter plane. And I look at these guys and they really mean it.
Yeah.
And am I a believer? No, I can't say I am. But I have met with people that are serious people that say, there's some really strange things that they see flying around out there. And, you know, if you go to Nevada and you look at that little section of where they go to look at the aliens, where they think all the aliens are landing, that, you know, it's one of, I think it's maybe the number one tourist attraction in the United States.
Roswell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roswell. I think it's the number one. It's the lines of people waiting. You have no idea how many times I'm asked that question.
But don't you have access to that information?
I have access, but I speak to people about it. I've had actually meetings on it. And they will tell you there's something going on. When they say things are going four times faster than my beautiful top-of-the-line airplane that goes, you know,
Mach
real fast.
With no identifiable propulsion
Mach
system.
Mach 2,
yeah.
Right?
These things are creating their own gravity fields, allegedly.
Well, they have people that are very smart and very solid have said they believe there is something out there. And, you know, it makes sense that there could be. I've never been convinced, even despite that. You know, I just, for some reason, it's not my thing. But a lot of people believe that it's true. A lot of very good, solid people believe it's true.
Mm.
What? And you
I
have-
know there are illegal aliens out there, but those are the ones that come through the border. We have plenty of them. Those are the ones I know. When you say aliens, I say, are they illegal aliens? These might be illegal, but we don't want to test them.
Yeah.
Because if they can go four times faster, we're not going to test them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's an interesting question.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Is there a chance that one of these orgs is potentially hiding information from you about aliens?
I guess so. It's you have the deep state, and you do have a deep state. And certainly they could. But I don't think on this subject. I was interested in it because I've been asked so many times. And I talk to people that have said that they've, you know, it was a sighting. And it's very believable. It's very possible that there is something. And why wouldn't there be? You know, you take a look at the universe and you see all of the different planets and you see this, you know, look, here we are on one relatively small planet. Why wouldn't there be on a planet that's you know, 400 times the size. Why wouldn't there be somebody? Yeah. You know, it's certainly believable to me.
The thought of it freaks me out. You know, it's weird to think that we potentially are only the source of life in like an infinite, ever expanding universe. But you know, technology.
But they'd never be able to take you in a fight.
No chance.
I'll bet on you.
No chance. Send me in.
I'll bet on you.
Send me in, my brother. We'll handle it.
That's a good team.
If we don't come back, I'm sure we'll be happy about that too.
The two of you will come back and say hello. Say hello to him, by the way.
I will.
He's a great guy.
Maybe Elon could get you guys there. You're a fan of Elon Musk?
I think Elon might be good for this question. He's a terrific. You know, I looked at the ship that went up, the spaceship, and I never saw this before. I saw this is, you know, like 2 years ago. I see the motors coming down, the engines coming down, no wings, no anything. And then I say, what is going on?
Yeah.
And nobody ever saw that before. And if you didn't have him, you probably wouldn't be seeing it, you know. And I called him and said, what's that? He says, well, we want to be able to reuse the engines. I said, they don't have wings. They don't have anything. And they're landing on a platform in the middle of the ocean. I said, how cool is that? I thought I saw it all. But that was, no, he's a very, he's a spectacular guy.
Well, I mean, between PayPal, Neuralink, Starlink, Tesla, yeah. SpaceX.
And other things.
Yeah, he's probably one of the greatest minds of
AI,
our generation.
AI, very big, you know.
What I wanted to ask about. Yeah. It was the second question because, you know, technology is improving at a rapid pace.
That's right.
At a pace humanity has never seen before. And the most recent development in technology that is alarming but also cool is artificial intelligence, AI.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be eventually to a point where we're not able to tell what's real and what's fake. Mm. The era of truth, I believe, is probably slowly, unfortunately, coming to an end, unless you come with receipts. what do you think the government's role in enabling, protecting, or governing AI should be in general? Should this superpower become what we believe it probably will be?
Well, it is a superpower, and you want to be right at the beginning of it, but it is very disconcerting. I said, you know, you used the word alarming. It is alarming when I saw a picture of me promoting a product and I could not tell. The voice was perfect. The lips moved perfectly with every word. The way you couldn't, if you were a lip reader, you'd say it's absolutely perfect. And that's scary in particular. In one way, if you're the president of the United States and you announce that 13 missiles have been sent to, let's not use the name of a country, we have just sent 13 nuclear missiles heading to somewhere, and they will hit their targets in 12 minutes and 59 seconds, and you're that country, and there's no way of detecting. You know, I asked Elon, is there any way that like Russia or China can say that that's not really President Trump? He said there is no way.
They'd have to rely on first alert systems.
No, they have to rely on a code that if you don't have a certain code, who the hell's going to check? You got like 12 minutes. And let's check the code. Gee, how's everything doing? So what do they do when they see this, right? They have maybe a counterattack. It's so dangerous in that way. Okay. In another way, it's so incredible that what they do is so incredible. I've seen it. I just got back from San Francisco. I met with incredible people in San Francisco, and we talked about this. This subject is hot on their plates, you know, the super geniuses.
Yep.
And they gave me $12 million for the campaign, which, you know, 4 years ago, they probably wouldn't have. We had thousands of people on the streets. You saw it. It just happened this last weekend.
Yep.
I met with incredible people, actually. And this is their big, this is what everyone's talking about with all of the technology. These are the real technology people. They're talking about AI. And they showed me things, but I've seen things that are so, you wouldn't even think it's possible. But in terms of copycat, now, to a lesser extent, they can make a commercial. I saw this.
Yeah.
They made a commercial, me promoting a product, and it wasn't me. And I said, did I make that commercial? Did I forget that I made that commercial? It is so unbelievable. So it brings with it difficulty, but we have to be at the forefront. It's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, we have to take the lead over China. China's the primary threat in terms of that. And, you know, what they need more than anything else is electricity. they have to have electricity, massive amounts of electricity. I don't know if you know that, in order to do these, essentially it's a plant. And the electricity needs are greater than anything we've ever needed before to do AI at the highest level. And China will produce it because they'll do whatever you have to do, whereas we have environmental impact people, and you know we have a lot of people trying to hold us back. But massive amounts of electricity are needed in order to do AI. And we're going to have to generate a whole different level of energy. And we can do it, and I think we should do it. But we have to be very careful with it. Right? We have to watch it. But it's... you know, the words you use were exactly right. It's the words a lot of smart people are using. You know, there are those people that say it takes over the human race. It's really powerful stuff, AI. Mm. So let's see how it all works out. But I think as long as it's there,
it plays out.
And that's just AI. What about when it becomes SI or super intelligence?
Yeah, no. Then they'll have super AI, right? Super duper AI. But what it does is so crazy.
It's amazing. It's crazy.
Now, it can also be really used for good. I mean, things can happen. I had a speech rewritten by AI out there, one of the top people. He said, oh, you're going to make a speech? Yeah. He goes, click, click, click. And like 15 seconds later, he shows me my speech.
That's crazy. Written. That's crazy.
So beautifully. I said, I'm going to use this sucker. I'm going to use, I've never seen anything like it.
What'd you say to your speech writer after that?
You're fired.
I said, you're fired, Vince. Get the hell out of here. No. This was so crazy. It took it and it made it unbelievable. And it's so fast. You just say, I'm writing a speech about these two young, beautiful men that are great fighters and sort of great at a lot of things. And, tell me about them and say some nice things, and period. And then that comes out. Mm. Logan in particular is a great champion. Jake is also good. See, I'm doing that only because you happen to.
I appreciate that. Now,
but no, it comes out with the most beautiful writing. So one industry I think that will be gone are these wonderful speech writers. I've never seen anything like it. And so quickly, a matter of literally minutes, it's done. So it's a little bit scary.
Well, as you said, let's see how this plays out. I did get the wrap it up because I do believe your team and I want to shoot a TikTok with you.
Oh, that's good. I'm on TikTok.
We saw your first video. 120 million views. It blew up.
We have a lot of views. I don't know how many, but it was a lot. We did it with Dana.
You went viral.
And we were sort of getting ready to walk into the arena. And it was a lot of crowd, and there wasn't a negative voice in the whole house. It was pretty amazing.
Let's do it again.
I want to respect your time. I'd like to grab a couple photos, shoot this TikTok.
Absolutely.
120 million views on the way.
Absolutely.
But thank you for joining us on Impulsive, Mr. President.
It's an honor to be with you. You guys are great. Thank you so much. Good luck with your book over here. That's important stuff.
Thank you so much.
An incredible job you did to get out of it, right?
If you're ever bored on a plane to Tuscaloosa or something, you want to give it a read.
Oh, I'm going
to
be reading it. I think it's such an important subject. One of the most important subjects, actually. It's great that you did it.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching this episode of Impulsive.
With Donald Trump, Mr. President, we love you. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace. Nice.
Good job, fellas. Huh?
Thank you. I appreciate you, sir.
They're going to get big ratings on the show. Biden is just so bad.
Well, there he is. There's the interview. Hey, listen, I can assure you this is going to reach Gen Z millions. And that's what we need right now to propel us into November if we have a free and fair election. So shout out to Logan Paul and obviously Donald J. Trump holding it down as always. Donald J. Trump holding it down as always. I want to encourage you guys to make sure that you guys subscribe to the channel, smash that like button, hit the bell notification, copy the link. Please share it absolutely everywhere. Two things before I let you guys go. Make sure to go to LFATV.us, leave a donation of any amount, whether it be one time, reoccurring, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, annually. Keep LFATV alive. Keep LFATV alive. And also, tonight's episode is brought to you by AmmoSquare.com/LFA. All my gun owners, Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Your ammunition grows slowly over time and is stored for free while it builds up and is shipped whenever you want it, shipping out in just 1 to 2 business days. It is truly automated, set it and forget it ammo purchasing. Pick your calibers, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Ammunition builds up over time and is delivered automatically when you want it. That's ammosquared.com/LFA. ammosquared.com/LFA. And if you loved what you heard here tonight, make sure to subscribe to the channel, smash that like button, hit the bell notification, copy the link. Please share it absolutely everywhere, but don't go anywhere because the legendary Roger Stone is up next in the Stone Zone. I'll see you guys on the next one.